Good morning. Glad to welcome you to our worship service today, and especially glad to welcome our visitors and our guests and all our online viewers this morning. For those of you who are online, I'll remind you that we are celebrating Holy Communion as part of this service, and I invite you to get your elements ready so that you can celebrate Holy Communion at your homes as we do it here. Speaking of Holy Communion, today we return to the altar for Holy Communion. Yay! At this point, then you'll need to follow the ushers. They're going to be figuring it out too, because nobody remembers how we used to do it. But follow their directions. They'll get you up where you're supposed to be and whenever. There has been a change, however. After you commune, you will continue to pick up your little individual glasses like you have been doing. But then the receptacles used to be down here. We've moved the receptacles up to the top level because some of you need at least one hand, if not two hands, to get down the steps. So we wanted you to get rid of your cup before you come down the steps. So we've put one of them here and then one right here beside the pulpit. And you'll be able to put your cup there. There may be a little bit of some traffic flow. If you're up here, you have to go over there. If you're back there, you have to come. You know, y'all work it out. You're a family of faith, and you're going to make it happen. This is the best we've been able to come up with as to where they should be to make things easiest for y'all. So anyway, they're there. Our church secretary, Betty, wanted me to be sure to announce to you that we have no one for the flowers on, what was that, August 8th, I believe she said, which is 2 weeks away. So if you're interested in providing that, let us know. Also, please be aware of the school supply drive that has begun. There's a box in the narthex, and then there's announcements in your Go and Serve as well about that. And finally, I will let you know that Friday late, I got word from Frank and Dottie Ireton that Frank's cancer has progressed to inoperable and he's going on hospice tomorrow. So please remember to keep Frank and both Dottie in your prayers as well. Okay, I'd love to call on Vicar Amanda to do her announcements, but she's... You know what? Since Vicar Amanda's not here, I'll call on Jim. Oh.
So you can make up something. Just make sure it rhymes and gets the rhythm. Or you could alternately sing the words, sing Hosanna to our God. So anyway, or you could pull out a hymnal and look at 525. But just be aware, or you could la la la, that would be fine too.
My daughter-in-law, who's here today, says if you say the word watermelon, it always fits, and everybody thinks.
Very well.
Yeah. Okay. So, make up something at the bottom, page 4. Let's rise and prepare for our worship with our confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love. Trusting God's promise of forgiveness, let us confess our sin against God and one another. Eternal God, our Creator, in you we live and move and have our being. Look upon us, your children, the work of your hands. Forgive us all our offenses and cleanse us from proud thoughts. By your grace, draw us near to you, our refuge and our strength. Christ our Lord. Amen. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Christ died for us while we still were sinners, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you. riches, wisdom, and might, all honor and glory to Christ forever. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have placed within the hearts of all your children a longing for your word and a hunger for your truth. Grant that we may know your Son to be the true bread of heaven and share this bread with all the world through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Be seated, and with the children, please come forward. Good morning. Yes, I brought a wolf. You know what we call him? Wolfie. That's his name, because he's a wolf. And you remember last week I brought this big panda bear out here. Do y'all remember that? Yeah. And I saw him. You saw him over there. And you even commented about Mr. Panda sitting on the bench all through the service. Wolfie's going to be there today. How about that? And he promised to be a good wolf. So he's no fighting, no biting, no anything like that. But Wolfie is very special. As y'all probably know, I have a little grandchild. We talked about his panda bear last week. This week I want to talk about Wolfie, because Wolfie is special to Lincoln, my little grandchild. Have you ever been afraid? Excuse me, had a cough there.
You,
yeah, you think so?
Belle's afraid.
Yeah. Yeah, but y'all have never, ever, ever been afraid? Are you scared sometimes? Yeah, sometimes we all get scared. All right, So sometimes you're scared of things that come into your room, like at night when you're trying to sleep and things like that. Yeah, that's pretty scary, isn't it? That's right. Sometimes you go to mommy's bed and be safe and stuff like that. Yeah. And hide under the covers. That's a good one. Put your face under the covers. You don't want to hear anything? No, that's right. Yes. Yeah.
I was scared because it was a fire truck. Yes.
Yeah, fire trucks can be scary. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's where Wolfie comes in, because if Lincoln's scared or he's worried about something, he can just hold on to Wolfie, and Wolfie helps him feel safe. And his panda, that's right. But panda's kind of big. But Wolfie is just the right size, and it helps him feel like he's safe, and he's not afraid anymore. Have y'all got a lovey or a stuffed animal or something like that that you hold on to, or a nightlight sometimes? Uh-huh, okay, yeah. You have a what? An Oh, an ooh-ooh-ah, it's a monkey. Yeah. Yeah, and they help us. They help us feel better. They help us feel not afraid, don't they? Yeah. Well, today in our gospel reading, you know who's afraid? All of Jesus' disciples. They see Jesus walking on the water, and they think he's a ghost. Would that scare you if you thought he was a ghost?
No.
No, you're not scared of ghosts. No, that's good. Yes. You've watched a movie of Halloween. It was pretty scary, wasn't it? No. Okay. You have too. Wow. Great. Yeah. Well, sometimes we're scared, and those disciples were scared that day. And Jesus said something really important to them. You know what he said? He said, "Don't be afraid." And that's because whenever Jesus is with us, he told that to me too. He told that to you too? Yeah. Well, whenever Jesus is with us, right, we don't ever have to be afraid. Like Lincoln isn't afraid when he has Wolfie with him. I did. Yes, I sure did. I sure did. And that means that you don't ever have to be afraid because Jesus is always with us.
Yeah, and Pap is with
you. And Pap is with you and Uncle and everybody. Yeah, Jesus is with us and gives us peace in our hearts, and we don't have to be afraid because Jesus will take care of us. So that's what I want you to remember today. Can we have our prayer? Dear Jesus, thank you for helping us when we're afraid. Help us to always remember you are with us and we have nothing to fear. Amen. All right, go in peace and serve the Lord.
A reading from 2 Kings. A man came from Baal Shalishah, bringing food from the first fruits to the man of God, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. Elijah said, "Give it to the people and let them eat." But his servant said, "How can I set this before 100 people?" So he repeated, "Give it to the people and let them eat, for thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." He set it before them. They ate and had some left according to the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, and so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. But when they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force and make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Mark Twain was accompanied by his wife on one of his visits to the Holy Land. They were staying in Tiberias on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. It was a moonlit night, and the weather was perfect, which gave Twain the romantic idea of taking his wife for a boat ride on the lake. They walked down to the pier, and Twain inquired of a man sitting in a rowboat how much he would charge to row them out on the water. Now, Twain was dressed in his usual white suit, white shoes, and white Texas hat, and the oarsman, presuming him to be a wealthy rancher from the United States, said, "Oh, I think about $25. Mark Twain thanked him, and as he turned away with his wife on his arm, he was heard to exclaim, "Now I know why Jesus walked." There are a lot of miracles in today's gospel reading we could talk about. There's the feeding of the 5,000, certainly a miracle that amazes us and which points us to the feast to come in Christ Jesus. There's the walking on the water, the miracle that many of us would like to see and which reveals Jesus to us as God. But today I want to focus on the miracle in these stories that you've never noticed before. The third miracle that gets overshadowed by the other two, and we often simply pass it right by. Let me remind you that the disciples were out in the boat and a strong wind was blowing and making the sea rough. That's when Jesus came to them walking on the water. When they thought he was the ghost, he answered, "Do not fear, I am." And that's when the third miracle happens. The Bible is explicit in saying that the disciples had been rowing against the wind, and the wind and the waves were making it difficult. But when Jesus got in the boat, immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. Now, I don't think Jesus had an Evinrude boat motor in his pocket. So I don't know how this happened. What I do know, and what I think this small miracle points us to, is that Jesus sees us through the storm to safety. Jesus sees us through the storm to safety. In the other Gospels where this story is told, this little detail is missing. Luke doesn't tell the story at all, and in both Matthew and Mark, when Jesus gets in the boat, the wind suddenly ceases. But in John, there's no mention that the fierce wind stops, and instead it says that they made their way through the storm to a place of surety and safety. What a comfort that is for us. We know all about storms and rough going. I talked with someone recently who was telling me of a serious problem they were having. "Pastor," they said, "I pray about it so earnestly, and then I feel such peace in my heart. I know I have turned my problem over to God. And then a few minutes later, I find I have picked it back up again." I'll bet this person isn't alone.
I'll bet you have been there too. We know all about storms and rough going, and it doesn't have anything to do with the weather outside. These storms rage inside. Frightful diagnoses, family disharmony and division, worries, sleepless nights, stress, politics that make our blood boil, fears, anxiety, and on it goes. We know all about storms and rough going. But what we learn today is that Jesus gets in the boat with us, and we are brought to a place of surety and safety. And in this gospel, it's important to note that the storm doesn't cease, but the way is made smooth. God is with us, and just so God is with us in our storms too. This is a common theme in the Bible. Over and over in the Bible, God seems to make a way through the waters for us. From the parting of the Red Sea as Moses led the people to freedom, to times when the Jordan River parted to let the people pass, or for Elijah or Elisha to cross, God makes a way. And maybe we should learn from that and finally begin to trust that. No matter what difficulty we face, no storm is too big for God. No matter what difficulty we face, God will make a way. Thomas Dorsey was a blues pianist who eventually founded a touring jazz band about 100 years ago. In 1932, his wife was expecting their first child in Chicago while Dorsey was singing for a gospel revival in St. Louis. One night in St. Louis, it was hot and steamy, and the crowd called on him to sing again and again. When he finally sat down, a messenger handed him a telegram telling him that his wife had just died. Not long after that, he found out that she had given birth to a boy, but later in the night, the boy had also died. Dorsey was grief-stricken, feeling that God had done him an injustice. His grief lingered for days until finally a friend took him to a college and put him in a practice room with nothing else but a piano and closed the door. In his memoir, Dorsey wrote, "I sat down at the piano and my hands began to browse over the keys. Something happened to me. I felt at peace. I felt as though I could reach out and touch God. I found myself playing a melody, one I'd never heard or played before, and words came into my head, and they just seemed to fall into place." The words were, "Precious Lord, take my hand." We've been there. In the storms of our lives, we have prayed it too. "Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I'm tired. I'm weak. I'm worn. Through the storm and through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord. Lead me home." Oh, people of God, take heart. Have peace. God takes our hand. Amen.
Thank you.
Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Living Lord, we are hungry for you. Fill us with your bread. Give us zeal for living your way. Feed us with faith that draws us closer to you. Lead us in lives eager to tell of your love so that all might come to know you. Lord, in your mercy, God of comfort, reach into our world with your peace and hope. So often it is easy for us to get discouraged or to feel lost amid the many conflicts and demands of our lives. Abide with us, O Savior, and give us a greater trust in your strength. Lord, in your mercy, compassionate God, comfort those struggling with any illness or difficulty that they may know your healing presence. In your love, bless all in need, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, send us now. Send us to feed your world, not just with bread, but also with love and justice, with mercy and grace. Unite us as your children, loving each other because we are loved by you. Lord, in your mercy, into your hand, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share God's peace.
Thank you. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy are you, God of power and might. Holy God, our Maker, Redeemer, and Healer, when sin had scarred the world, you sent your Son to heal our ills and to form us again into one. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his acts of healing, his body given up, and his victory over death, we await that day when all the peoples of the earth will come to the river to enjoy the tree of life. Send your Spirit upon us and this meal. As grains scattered on the hillside become one bread, so let your church be gathered from the ends of the earth, that all may be fed with the bread of life, your Son. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
body of Christ. Body of Christ. Body of Christ. Body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, now strengthen us to love the world with your love. In your name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.